Hey there, and welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast. I'm Megan Copeland.
And I'm Kendra Bartlett, and we are two best friends that we live right across the street from each other. And between us, we have 10 kids, a ton of redheads.
Yes, we do. We run a ministry in Austin, Texas called His Beloved, and our mission is to invite women, children, teenagers into an encounter with Jesus and to bring revival in the Catholic Church. And we are just so excited you are here.
Come join us.
Hey friends, welcome back. We are so glad you are here. So today on the podcast, we get to share some more talks from our Draw Near retreat that happened in the Austin Diocese a couple of weeks ago. If you didn't hear last week's episode, you might want to go back and listen to that one first. And at this retreat, we just got a chance to invite women into deep encounter with Jesus, and something beautiful happened. I've never seen people so open and surrender to the Lord. And so we felt like we should share these talks with you. So today you get to hear Kendra's talk and a little short one that I gave just before adoration that allowed women to open up to encountering him. And we really wanted to share the ending talk of the day with you, but the audio didn't make it. I think we ran out of recording space. Wah, wah. But that's okay. Kendra's talk is absolutely beautiful. And she talks about falling in love with Jesus and just being open and allowing intimacy with him in your life. And then the talk that I give is about the woman who encountered Jesus who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years of her life and what it meant to have him see her for the very first time. I hope that you enjoy these. I hope that they lead you deeper into prayer and into knowing who God is and how he wants to just meet you where you are today, to be close to you, to draw near to you, and that you have a chance to draw near to him too. Thanks, guys.
Years ago, long before His Beloved was a thing, the Lord has just, I don't know, my heart has just always been stirred for women and ministering to women, and he gave me this vision of seeing a whole slew of women coming out of their cars in a parking lot with their Bibles in hands, and actually, now that I think about it, there's some men too, so, well, let him deal with that. There were some men too in that, just with their Bibles and going into this building. And as like things have evolved and the Lord has just laid out this beautiful path for His Beloved, we've had some events where I'm like, okay, this was what I saw. This was it. Yes. And there was another event. Wait, this was what I saw. Okay. But I don't think it was any of those things. Because just recently, a couple months ago, I started bringing my Bible to Mass. And for a while, I would bring my every Sacred Sunday, which was fantastic, but I need all my notes in one place. So I was going a little crazy, like, wait, where did I write that down? Where did I write that down? So I'm not bashing every Sacred Sunday. That is an incredible, beautiful resource that you can use at Mass. So I started bringing my Bible. I would look at the scriptures the night before. Sometimes I wouldn't, and I would elbow my kids, hey, look in the Missal and tell me what the first reading is. And like, it's First Peter. And we'd be that family distracting everybody. But what it has done for me has been like just amazing things. Scripture is the living word of God, amen? And in our church, we have the beautiful gift of reading the entire Bible in the course of 3 years. That is incredible. And somewhere along the lines, we've lost sight of the power of Scripture, of our responsibility to read the word, to know the word, to let it come alive in our lives and in our hearts. And for me, as I've been bringing my Bible to Mass, the connections between the scriptures that are read are just jumping off the page in ways that never have before. And so I feel like this battle cry, that's weird, hello, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I feel this battle cry within me, will y'all join me in bringing your Bibles to Mass? Because it is going to change I don't know what I was going to say with that. We'll just, Holy Spirit, shut me up. That's good. But whenever I went to college, I left the Catholic Church, and I was very poured into by our Protestant brothers and sisters. And those 3-4 years were very powerful for me, very important part of my story. And what I loved was all of us walking into church with our Bibles, breaking them open together and diving into the Word together. And there was just something unifying about that. And so I believe that we can learn so much from our Protestant brothers and sisters, and I feel like that's one thing. So join me in bringing your Bibles to Mass and be that person, and maybe it'll make someone question, like, why do you bring your Bible? We have the Missalettes. And like, well, this is my Bible, and I can write in it. I can't write notes in the Missalette. I'll get kicked out. No, not really. Okay, so that's my plug, and I really feel like that was the vision that God gave me for us all to be walking into church with our Bibles together. So. Da-da-da, commercial's over. Break. Okay, so here we go. Remember when I showed you the pictures of me on the pole? I'm very type A, and I like to have talks written out, and the Lord knows this, and so he's like, we're not going to do that this time. So, bear with me on this one. I really feel like the Lord has something very important to say here. And part of this lesson is me jumping off the pole knowing I'm safe, and we're just going to go. But to begin with the word reckless. So Megan mentioned that my time in the kitchen that day, I was really puzzled. You know that song, Reckless Love? And I asked that question because I was so puzzled by what I've experienced. You can stay here with the crying baby. It brings joy to my heart, seriously. What I've experienced in my relationship with the Lord, it hasn't been reckless in the sense of the definition that the world has given reckless, crazy, wild, party, all the things that is associated with reckless. The love that he has shown me has been very steadfast, very intentional in his pursuit over my heart. Very surprising, like all the things that Megan mentioned, he shows up in big ways. And so I was having a hard time connecting those two things, like what is reckless about his love? And what she spoke that day, and what I think the Lord makes new all things. And so the way that the world has taken that word, not really taken that word, it is a word, it is defined by like wild, crazy, whatever, throwing caution to the wind, but he's anointing that word in a love relationship with him where he wants to take you on this beautiful adventure. And so diving into that and jumping off the pole isn't like, hey, yeah, let's go throw caution to the wind and be wild or anything like that, but it is surrendering to his plan that he has for you. So he's placing an anointing over that word. And what reckless love means, it's within the confines of his safe, abiding love, if that makes sense. So with that, I want to dive into Peter this morning, afternoon, schedule change, afternoon. So I want to dive into Peter. I feel like he's the star of the show because he was placed on Megan's heart, as was Isaiah. And for me, I want to go into when Jesus walked on water. And I love this story, and every time I read it, different little pieces pop out for me. But I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's from Matthew chapter 14. Okay. And in the fourth watch of the night, so this is when Jesus dismissed the crowds, and Peter and the disciples went into a boat before him, and Jesus is still hanging back. If you've watched The Chosen, you probably have that reel in your head. They depicted this beautifully. And so Peter and the disciples were in the boat, and it was the fourth watch of the night. And here Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, and saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and all those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What's been on my heart is inviting you into this story of intimacy with Jesus. And I heard it said, "Into me so that you may see." And if we can look at that two different ways. We can look at that as the Lord's invitation to us, saying, "Draw into me so that you may see." But also on the reverse of us saying to him, "Draw into me so that you may see." And it's this beautiful dance that the Lord invites us to, this sweet romance, this dance that I have come to find is the most magnificent thing to ever partake of. Like sometimes he wants to folk dance with you and get a little silly, right? Sometimes he wants to show you off and spin you out and say, "Look at my beloved daughter," and spin you back in and hold you close. Sometimes he lets you stand on his feet and he does all the dancing for you. And it's just this tender, intimate place. So he has this invitation that he's calling us all in. Not too long ago, I was at an event, and it was Eucharistic Adoration for Families and Children. It was so beautiful, and I was standing in the back, and the tabernacle was open, and Jesus was exposed on the altar. And I just looked at the tabernacle, and I heard him say so loudly, "I am." And it took me back for a little bit, and I was like, wow. Like never before, I've always thought those words are kind of weird because grammatically it's like, what? But God the Father saying, "I am." And in this place of intimacy with God the Father, we are invited to stop doing and to be. And to be who we are, to be in this place of rest, to be in this place of pruning, which sometimes hurt, but we're still being and abiding in him. And as he said those words, "I am," I realized that that is him also being, if that makes sense. And so in this intimate place, into me so that you may see, he's inviting us as he bees, which again grammatically is meh, as he is, so too are we. And so many times for me, the enemy likes to take me out of the present moment of being. He likes to take me or tempts me, whatever. My mind just automatically goes to the future. But where the future is, that's where what ifs lie. That's where the question marks lie. That's where fear lies. And sometimes he takes me to the past, but you know what? That's where shame lies. That's where guilt lies, resentment lies. But God the Father in this intimate place is inviting us to be here with him as he is. We can set the world on fire, not by doing, but by being. And this isn't just another thing to do, right? It's just a place of being. And that place comes, like Megan was talking about, in this intimate, just coming to talk to him, to abide in him. But what does that look like? That looks like keeping our eyes constantly fixed on him. Because like I said, the enemy is going to try to come in, and he's going to speak lies into your ears. He's going to try to twist things to where you think, "I am awful. I'm a terrible mother." I heard that so many times. That's not God the Father. That's not God the Father. That's not his love over you. You know what God the Father does? He puts this little nudge on your heart and says, "Your daughter might need a little more time. Why don't you go spend some time with her?" No guilt. Like, oh, okay, thank you. And you know what? He anoints that time, and it's precious. He showed up to me in so many ways in my parenting, and that's just being with him, being in your gift of motherhood with him, being in the gift of wherever you are in life, in your workplace, and your vocation, wherever you are, it's being there, fully present to where you are, and allowing him to with him walk and speak and move and just be. And it's a place of peace. It's a place of deep peace. The Lord calls us into a secret place. And now, I think many of y'all, I see babies, like, the secret place. Okay, I don't have time to be whisked away into a secret place. I don't have a secret place. My kids knock on the door and slip notes on the door when I'm in the bathroom. Like, I get it. I get it. But he meets you there. So I would invite you to take a check on what the volume of life is for you. And as you go out from here, this is kind of like an action thing that you can just pay attention to. But when I heard that, what is the volume of life? I was like, wait a second. Okay, yeah, my life is really loud. I got the radio on. I got podcasts on. I got, you know, shows in the evening with my husband. Even though it's a date night, it's fun. But there are places that we can turn on the volume of life. Even when you're in the shower, like, Holy Spirit, speak to me in the shower. This is the time where my kids cannot slip notes in because they'll get watered down. I can do this. So Holy Spirit, let's do this. And the Holy Spirit will show up and speak to your heart in the shower. You know, while you're driving, let's turn off the radio a little bit, right? So you can actively be with Jesus as you're living life and allowing him to intermingle and weave and dance with you in all these precious moments instead of it being, I have to do this. I have to check this box. I have to, you know, say this prayer, but it's this intimate union of into me so that you may see. From that, you know, we have Peter, going back to Peter in the scriptures. The piece that stood out to me was that, number one, he was like, let's go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk on the water, and it's going to be awesome. And Jesus is like, okay, let's do this. I've been trying to get you this for so long. Let's go. And then he felt the wind, and he looked away, and that's when fear crept in. How many times does fear sneak in and take our gaze off of the Father, and then that's whenever we begin to sink? It's happened to me so many times in my life. But then what does Jesus do? He reaches down. He says, here, let's go. It's okay. And I don't see Jesus as like, oh, Peter, come on. You're supposed to lead the church. Can't do that. I see him as like, it's okay, buddy. Let's try this again. We'll try again another time. And he just pulls him out and he just hugs him. And I think that's what he does for us, is this just ever-encompassing continual cycle of calling us out, us giving a try. In our humanity, sometimes we look away, we fall, and it's like, it's okay, let's go. We'll keep going. Let's keep running. Because you know what happens a couple chapters later? Jesus, or Peter, in front of everybody, declares Jesus as the Son of God. And so there's no way that Peter felt like he got his hand slapped and was like, okay, I better, you know, I stink. I'm not going to do this. No, he declares Jesus as the Son of God. And then Jesus is like, yes, upon this rock, I will build my church. Here we go. But think about the book of Acts. Think about after Jesus died. I'm sure Peter messed up. I'm sure he was like, Lord, why did you give me this task? Oh, my goodness. I can't do this. I can't do this. But yet, he remembers that moment of Jesus pulling him up out of the water each time, like, let's go. Okay, let's go. Let's do this. And he continues. And he learned, I'm sure, from that moment to not take his eyes off of Jesus in the being, in this union, in this intimacy with God the Father. And from that intimacy comes freedom, right? Because from that intimacy, it's like, I don't care anymore. It's like the scales of caring what people think. I know that was something that I struggled with a long time. This nose piercing, so it's part of my story of breaking free of what people thought of me. My husband was a youth minister. He's been in church for a long time. He worked for the diocese. And I was like, what are the women going to think if I get my nose pierced? It's something I've always wanted to do. I thought it was cute. What are they going to think of me? Like, what is she doing? Right? And I let that play this narrative. For years, I didn't get my nose pierced. And they were driving to Mississippi. And I was like, I think I want to get my nose pierced. And Chris goes, you should do it in Mississippi. And I was like, what? Who are you? And so in Mississippi on vacation, a man named Squirrel pierced my nose. And I tell you what, y'all, starting that journey of breaking free from the fear of man, from fear of what others think of me, it has been this incredible journey of coming to this place of, like, I am his. I am his beloved. I don't care. Let's run. I know, Jesus, you're going to pick me up. God, I know you are who you say you are in my life. You always have been. You always will be. You will never turn your back on me. You will never give up on me. And that's that invitation for you. It's freedom. This past week when we were buying stuff for decorations, I went into the Dollar Tree. Yes, we don't have a big budget. We did buy a lot of stuff at Dollar Tree. But that's okay. It's cute, right? So I go into the Dollar Tree, and this woman, what was her name? Did I write it? Ashanti, yes. Okay. This woman named Ashanti, beautiful smile. She had jewels from her hair, like on her forehead. And I later, okay, I'll tell that in a minute. Okay. But she was just singing praise songs as she was checking people out. She's like, hey, how are you? And they say, oh, I'm good. How are you? Oh, I'm blessed. You have a great day. And she's just checking people out. And this is her world, right? And so I'm, you know, scurrying through Dollar Tree because I had to be somewhere else and I'm getting the stuff I need to get. And I can hear her to the back of the store singing these beautiful songs. And I was just so uplifted. And when I got to check out, I just poured into her. I was like, you put the words of Jesus on my mouth, and I want to thank you for that. And she just lit up, and that was freedom. I would never, even if I could sing, I would never sing while I'm checking people out at the grocery store for all to hear. Like, oh my goodness. Well, hopefully I would, since, you know, squirrel pierced my nose and I'm broken free of that. But you never know. If I could sing, we'll see. But she was living in who she was. She was being fully the beloved daughter of God. And I was reflecting on the jewels that she had on her forehead. And have y'all heard the scripture of how he placed your royal diadem? Like, she is living in her belovedness as his princess. And she had the most freedom and joy over her spirit that I have ever seen in anyone. And that's the invitation that the Lord invites us into, right? So into me so that you may see, so that we can see his heart for us, so that we can see what our heart is for him and his church and for his mission, right? We want to accompany him and be with him in this journey of building up the kingdom of heaven, right? Of being a witness to others. And that just might be saying hi in the grocery store. It's not this huge thing, but it's actively being with him in this intimate, sweet, sweet place. So I want to finish with scripture from Isaiah. And if you can close your eyes, I just want just to allow him to speak this over your heart. Holy Spirit, come and illuminate the pieces of this scripture to each and every woman in the specific way that needs to be highlighted for them. Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, fear not, for I am with you.
Hey friends, we feel like we have a mission on this podcast. The Lord has put on our heart that he wants us to partner with him to bring revival in the Catholic Church, to invite people into living fully alive as Catholics in the Holy Spirit and the Mass and the sacraments. And we feel like this podcast is a big part of that. We would love if you feel called to this mission too, if you would partner with us. We're realizing that we need a little funds to make this podcast the best thing it can be. We need to hire a real life podcast editor who can make it sound as wonderful as we would like for it to. We also would love any sponsorship. If you have a business that you would like to advertise on our podcast, let us know. We would love that so much. So if you're interested in partnering with us and donating, you can click on the link in our show notes for our Give Butter website. I know it's a weird name, Give Butter, like the food, but it is a fundraising website for nonprofits, and we are a 501c3. And so if you donate to us, you will receive a receipt that you can file your taxes with. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. It's so hard to ask for money, and this is not something we take lightly, but we feel like this mission is where God has called us to. We feel like this is where He desires the church to move forward in, and we would love for you to be a part of it. Around the room, but the Lord is stirring in your hearts. I see it. And some of you probably are a little more quiet about it, but I feel like you have some stirrings happening too. And we're about to go before our King. And I don't know if we have anybody in the room that's not Catholic, but this is like the most beautiful form of worship we have as Catholics. Actually, the Mass is the highest form of worship, but this one's really beautiful. It's called adoration. So we get to be in the actual presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And I used to like get kind of excited. Like, you know, when you're at the airport, like back, you know, in the 90s, you used to be able to like go stand at the gate and wait for somebody to get off the plane. You can't do that anymore, but you used to be able to. And you like wait for them to get off the plane and you're like, oh, they're coming. Oh, they're coming. Here they come. That's the level of excitement that I think we should have for Jesus in adoration. I also think that's the level of excitement we should have during the consecration at Mass. But sometimes it's a little bit harder for us to always be in that place of joy and excitement every time at Mass. But in adoration, our King is coming. So if you could stand face to face with Jesus today, if you could look him in the eyes, have him look at you, what would you do? What would your body language look like? What would your words be? What would your heart say? Because you get that opportunity today. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share the story of the hemorrhaging woman. And I love the story for a lot of reasons. One, she was, oh man, she knew what long suffering felt like. She knew. And some of you probably know what long suffering feels like. It feels like you're never gonna make it out alive. But she also knew the way to handle her suffering was to go to this man they called the Messiah. She didn't know much about him, but she knew it was worth it for him to go and find him. So, and this is one of these stories where he's on his way to do another miracle, right? And the crowds are pushing in all around him because people are starting to find out about this healer. And so she's like, I've just got to get there. Now, one thing you need to know about Jewish culture is she was bleeding for 12 years. And in old, you know, Israelite culture, blood was considered unclean. And if you were bleeding or touched blood, then you were considered unclean. And so they were not allowed to worship God, to go into the temple. There had to be this cleaning ritual that took several days. Her entire life, for 12 years, she was unclean. No one could be around her. No one could touch her. Her own family disowned her. Her own father said, I can't be your father anymore. And any time that she were to go somewhere with other people, she would have to say, get away from me, get away from me. I might make you unclean. Can you imagine the level of shame and guilt this woman carried? She was actually dirty to the people around her. And so she, on this one day, she has this feeling of like, this is my moment. This is what I'm meant to do. I need to go find this man they call the Christ. I'm going. And so she goes out into the town square, and there's crowds everywhere. And Jesus is wearing, as was the custom, a long flowing robe with four tassels on his cloak, because that's what they would have worn. And I've heard that those were actually called the wings in some ways. So he had wings on his back. And she knows she can't touch him because she might make him unclean. So she reaches out and grabs that tassel. And that's all it takes. And in that moment, he knows He knows that something amazing has happened behind him. And I always wonder, like, in those moments, like, what would Jesus have thought? I can't help but think he was like, finally, I've been waiting for you. It's all I ever wanted was for you to come to me and say, let me heal you. I'm ready. I wish it didn't take so long. And I always like to just like picture what these things would have looked like. I don't know, it may not be scripturally accurate, but it's what the Lord puts in my heart. And I just imagine that he turns around, he looks her in the eyes, and she immediately is like, oh no, I've done something wrong. And he's like, oh my child, my sweet child. And he lifts her up and he looks into her eyes, and it's a love she's never seen before. She probably hasn't seen someone look in her eyes in 12 years. It's a love she's never known. And this part just stuck out to me recently, but he calls her daughter. You know, it's the only time in scripture that Jesus calls someone daughter. And in The Chosen, she says, well, I'm not a daughter anymore. And he's speaking her identity over her. He's saying, you are my daughter. I made you. You are my beloved. We didn't name this ministry His Beloved for no reason. We named this ministry His Beloved because we desired each and every human being to know who they are and whose they are. We wanted every child, grandfather, kid, woman, man to know that they are beautifully and wonderfully made and loved deeply by God the Father. And to be able to live in that identity and let it become who you are, let everything you do, everything you say flow out of a place of knowing you are held. When the world feels like a storm outside, you are in a safe place because God is holding you. She felt that in that moment. We're going to watch just a little bit of The Chosen, and then we're going to transition into adoration. So for those of you, if anybody has not been to adoration before, when Jesus enters the room, we're going to kneel because he is our King. We're going to worship. There's going to be times of silence, and that's just a chance for you to pour your heart out to God. Whatever you've been carrying this morning, whatever you walked in the door with, offer it to God. Like, hands open, this is yours, Lord. And pay attention to the stirrings of your heart. Pay attention to what he's saying back to you. This can be a time of great healing, a time of great encounter. And also, during this time, we have some healing prayer ministers that are here. And we usually like to have a lot, and we don't have a lot. So we just have one team. So maybe what we can do is have healing prayer in that back corner, and that back row can be our waiting area, like our waiting line. And so if you would like to receive inner healing prayer today, this is not a long session, it'll just be like a 5 minutes, but if you have something that you want us to pray with you over and you would really like to offer it to God, maybe it's a lie you've believed about yourself, maybe it's a wound that you've been carrying, maybe there's just like a pit in your stomach and you don't know what to do with that. And you're like, I just want to get rid of this. Come and let us pray with you. And I'm telling you, it can be a very powerful time where God just breaks chains and releases people from whatever it is they're carrying. All right. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Every chance we get to meet with you and talk about Jesus just brings so much joy to our hearts. I pray that the revival is coming, and I pray that the revival is coming through you. Did you know that you're part of this? I pray that every single day you grow more in love with Jesus, you hear his voice more, you follow him more. And I pray that this podcast is helping you a little bit along that way. If you are liking what you're hearing, we would love for you to share it with a friend. We would love for you to make a review on your podcast app, Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use. And we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and email us if you ever have any questions or you just want to share what God did in your heart today during the episode. See you next week.